Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Monday Night Live. Marshall's keen to say hello to everyone. Guys, there's a couple things I want you to do for me before we introduce our guest. Jump in the comments and let me know where you're tuning in from. I'd like to know who's out there, who we've got on this special live this evening. So drop in the comments and let me know which city you're tuning in from. The second thing I would like you to drop in the comments is what you think of my moustache, because this is the last day of Movember, and I think I've done a pretty good job, to be honest. But this will be going off tomorrow. There'll be no more Mo for another year, at least. So drop in the comments and let me know you're out there. We've got Ash Grunwald, who's jumped in. Hi, Shahid. Rob in Melbourne, how are you going? Welcome. All right, while you're jumping in and telling me how lovely my slug below my nose looks, I'll introduce our guest tonight, who's somebody that has come across my attention from some of the friends of mine who tuned into her podcast and recommended it to me. And I checked out a couple of episodes and was immediately impressed. Danny Carr, who started the How I Quit Alcohol podcast and has subsequently written the How I Quit Alcohol book, talks about how she made a decision at the start of 2018 to quit drinking, and then, what are you doing, buddy? and then interviews people who have been on a similar journey. And I think it's something that a lot of Australians can relate to. Look, binge drinking is something that a lot of Australians come in contact with, particularly, like, I know that growing up in my teenage years and in my 20s, it was something that was rife, something that Marshall has not come accustomed to, so he's tuning out a little bit. But she's also got a business, Earth Bottles, which she's going to share us about. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm Monday Night Live welcome to Danny Carr. Hi, Danny.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, good. How are you this evening?
I'm fantastic, thank you. That was a great intro.
Thank you. I was trying not to get distracted by Marshall. He's got a toy kangaroo that he's trying to get my attention with.
It's very cute.
I just wanted to... Oh, we've got Bill from New South Wales. We've got Amber from Cape Town. Who else we got? We've got a LinkedIn user, which isn't showing up. Their name's not showing up, who says Mo. Bleach the Mo. we've got a few references coming in about the moustache. Okay, cool.
Someone from Pakistan. Well, Pakistan.
Yeah, we've got people from all over. Oh, Rob Finlay. Okay, I'm with you. So, Danny, yeah. I would love to hear your story. You know, what led to you making the decision, first of all, to change your life, and then, you know, and how that manifested, I guess, into a podcast and then the book. And please share your story with us.
Okay, well, I guess, you know, like everyone, a lot of Australians, just binge drinking culture has sort of really crept in, and the progressive nature of alcohol is such that it sort of builds on itself and builds on itself. And when my husband Ash is a musician, he's on here tonight watching.
Shout out to Ash.
He's away on tour. But yeah, just within that scene as well, there's just so much binge drinking. It's like it's expected of you. And it just started to spiral out of control. And I remember just constantly waking up hating myself, waking up in the morning just like, oh my God, what did I say? Who did I call? Who did I text? Oh my God. And not remembering going to bed, and then sort of getting to the point, we've got two young kids. So I hate to admit this, but I'm, you know, all about being open and honest, like not remembering putting the kids to bed, you know, at certain nights, and just feeling like this is not what I want for myself. I've always wanted, you know, more for myself, and I just decided this is no good. And Ash was feeling much the same. So there was a group of musicians, Scott from The Living End, the bass player from The Living End, and his partner and a couple of other friends. We all got together and said, right, we're done. And so we decided to take 12 months off. And
wow.
Yeah, so it was our commitment on New Year's Day. And once we got to the 12, there was a lot of work that went on, a lot of journaling, which is why I brought out the journal, a lot of transformational stuff, spiritual stuff. And then we got to the end of the 12 months, and I said to Ash, I don't think I want to do this. And it's so funny because the whole time we'd been planning on what we were going to drink, you know, for New Year's Eve. But when it came down to it, I just thought, I can't go back to that. I didn't want to go back to that life, because I know as well, just from seeing other friends, that you have a break and you go back and it just goes back to, often it usually goes back to the same. And I didn't trust myself enough. And I just ended up in such a great place also with my business with Earth Bottles. Just things had got so much better. I was running the company better. So, yeah, we just didn't turn back. And now it's sort of progressed into this. This is a really long answer, sorry. Progressed into then doing a podcast because I wanted to share this story with other people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have a similar journey or a very different journey, but they've struggled with it. And I want to make it a thing where people can just tell their story and not feel shame, because there's so much shame surrounded with alcohol. And that's why I did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a long, long answer.
That's a great answer. And, you know, it seems to me like 12 months is a massive commitment to take on straight off the bat. Is it something that you'd been talking about for a long time, or did you literally decide New Year's that it was going to happen?
No, my best friend called me. It was actually her idea. And she called me, it was probably around October, and around about the same time I'd had this massive binge and I'd spewed all over my feet in front of my kids. And it was an absolute disaster of a night. And so it wasn't long after that where I was just like, oh, but I couldn't. It's like I tried so many times before, but I couldn't get past the 2 weeks, or, you know, it would just creep back in again. Or, you know what it's like? You start, I'm not sure about you, but you start a night with the intention of just having a couple of drinks, and then it spirals out into something huge. So, no, it was only a few months. Most of us. So, it was probably only a couple of months of knowing that we were going to do the 12 months. But I must say, early on, like when we, like, say, a few days after New Year's Eve, I was like, oh, fuck, what have we done? and I have to follow, I'm a follow through person. So I'm like, I've made this commitment. I have got to follow through. So, here we are.
So you literally started with 12 months in mind. It wasn't like a month turned to 12 months.
No, and then, definitely the 12 months. Yeah.
And, through the podcast, you seem to have connected with a lot of other people that have, you know, taken the same path. How did you connect with a lot of the guests that you've had on?
Well, initially I'd started with a couple of my close girlfriends, and also the people that started, like, so Scott and his girlfriend Claire, Ash, my husband. So I interviewed those three, and I was only actually going to do a couple, and then the response was huge, like really quickly. And I was getting all these messages from people, and I was like, oh, okay. And so then I just sort of put it out there, and I know a lot of people with drug and alcohol council live next door, so just sort of putting it out there. And then people just tend to contact me now and want to, you know, share their story. And Brilliant. If it works, it works. But I know a lot of trash bags, Ash and I, because we're in the music industry, we know a lot of trash bags, so it's not too hard to find subjects to get on there and talk to.
And it's a great source for people that, I mean, a lot of people just, I think when I listened to it, you know, there was aspects of the interviews which, you know, I could relate to. And I think it's important for anybody that wants to, if they want to, you know, pursue that path, to know that they're not alone and know that there's people that have been through similar things and have made a decision to change your life, and that it's possible. You know, I think... knowing that it's possible, you know, because it is sometimes when you think of big decisions like that, they almost feel like there's something for somebody else and not for you, when it's, you know, so far from the realm of what you're doing and what people around you are doing. Which was something I've got written down here, which I wanted to ask you about is, you know, when you do go through something like that, how do you manage the people that you've surrounded yourself with, because they have such a big influence on how we behave, you know, and from your own experience, but also from the people that you've interviewed, you know, like, do you need to change your peer group completely, or how do you manage that?
To a degree, some of my friends, some of them have just run for the hills and we don't sort of see them much anymore. But basically I would change the way I hang out with people. So rather than catching up at nighttime, I'll organize a morning walk or maybe a brunch or something like that. So I've just changed it up a little bit. My old friends that I've known for a long time, they're fine. You know, we just sort of hang out as usual. It took a little while, and I talk about that a lot in the podcast. It just takes a while of getting used to this new way of hanging out with people and socializing. It takes a while to get your confidence up. That's why part of that transformation that I spoke about, with doing a lot of internal work to become more confident in yourself and dealing in social situations. But I definitely would say that our peer group has changed a bit, yes, because probably people as well that we thought were boring before because they didn't drink, we hang out with now all the time. Is that terrible?
This is one of the fears that comes up, and I know I read this on your website. The people are a bit afraid that they will become boring if they, you know, take the leap and stop drinking. But has that been your experience? I imagine it hasn't.
No way, I'm so not boring. No, we still have heaps of fun. In fact, I'm probably I'm less of a handful for sure. Yeah. I don't know. No, we still go and do stuff, and we still party, and we still dance and things like that. Just doing it without alcohol, and it's so doable. The thing is that when you go on this journey, and if you really, really do it, and do it with this kind of light heart, with a fun intention, not this sort of like, oh, I'm missing out on something. You see what you're giving yourself. You see the gifts that you're giving yourself. You let the transformation happen, and things just unfold. Like life just becomes so amazing. And I'm not, I don't even have the words to express how much life has changed from not drinking, but particularly in the business, from my business too. Like that was huge. Like, cause sometimes I'd be so hungover, I couldn't even have a meeting with my staff, or, you know, I'd be like, oh my God, I couldn't make decisions. I made stupid decisions at times. So it's helped so many levels of everything. So for the entrepreneurs out there, I think it's an amazing thing to do. You're just more switched on, you know, more clear.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure there's people that are tuning in but that can relate, but I certainly can, walking into meetings hungover and thinking, why am I making this harder on myself?
I know. And it has to be. Yes, because you just get so much more of that mental clarity back that, you know, especially after you've been doing it for a few months.
Yeah, and you really start to notice the impact.
You have more time. This is the other thing I found. There's a lot more time to work on yourself. So I'm like just chewing through books. It's like I cannot get enough information, you know, and I'm doing courses all the time, and there's just so much more time in the day, where before I'd probably be hungover, watching Netflix, eating bad food, that kind of thing too. So it's just all positive. There's no, there's no negative. Yeah.
And you've basically created a place that people can go for inspiration and to hear stories of others. I'm curious to know if you know, you've had mentors yourself, or places that you've drawn inspiration from, you know, before you started your podcast, and you know, if you've had any mentors or support along the way.
Not really as such for the alcohol thing, but as I was saying before, I went and did the Tony Robbins thing, the Business Mastery in Florida in February, but I had already been sober for, I think it was around about a year or 2 years when I did that. But basically my mentors are people like Wayne Dyer, who's passed now, but it's in what I listen to. And so it's just constantly feeding myself with, you know, inspirational type people. So lots of podcasts, lots of audio books, that kind of thing. And that's my mentor, I guess. And then within our group as well, just like Ash and Scott and Claire, you know, the people that joined the group at the start, we've sort of been each other's mentors, I guess, in a way. Particularly at the start.
And I guess I think your story is also a little bit different to the way I understand it, and I'm sorry for putting words into your mouth, but I wouldn't classify you as an alcoholic. You were a binge drinker, right? Which is a bit different to a lot of the stories that you come across in, say, Alcoholics Anonymous, for example, you know, where people are like drinking every day, which was, I think, it makes it particularly interesting because a lot of us can't relate to that, drinking every day, waking up, having a drink, but we could relate to the binge drinking stuff. What's your opinion on, do you have an opinion on Alcoholics Anonymous and what they preach, or did you not really get involved with that?
Well, I didn't get involved with that at all personally because, as you say, I wasn't an alcoholic as such, but binge drink it, you know, but a couple of the people I've had on the podcast have used the 12-step program. They've needed it. They've been daily drinkers. One of them was my really good friend, Lyndall, that I went to high school with. She's currently doing AA as well for her. And I think it's great for those people who need that. But then there's a lot of people. I think it's whatever you need or whatever you need to get you through. So, and there's some binge drinkers certainly that go and use the AA, they do the 12 steps as well, and they find that works. It wasn't for me, but definitely I didn't need it at that level. But I certainly would recommend it to people who are daily drinkers or who just, you know, there's a physical addiction there. Yeah.
I'm just checking out some of the comments.
Yeah, there's one here from Michelle. Is that your mum?
That's my mum. She jumped in, my number one fan.
But your mum's hot. Oh my God.
My mum is hot, yeah.
I thought it was your wife.
No. Just an interesting anecdote before we get into the question. I had my birthday a couple of weeks and Mum gave me a card saying, on the front it said, there's only one thing to say to a son as intelligent and as good looking as you. And then I opened the card and it said, you're welcome.
Yeah, that's awesome. She's gorgeous. Oh my God. So what did she say? This is really interesting. Did you find there was a certain point when you did not miss the alcohol? Yes. Did it get easy with time? Or did you have to say? I think at the start, Michelle, I found it the very start, the first few months, I found it kind of tricky. Now I don't even think about it, honestly. Like I think there was a time maybe 8 months in where I was cooking and I was, that was a trigger for me, and I was that close to caving. I was just like, and I even went and bought this bottle of red. I was over in Margaret River. I think just being in Margaret River. But I didn't do it in the end. We had a WhatsApp group, and I remember on the WhatsApp group going, oh, my God, I think I'm going to cave. I can't, you know, rah-rah. And Scott was the one who messaged me, and he was just like, don't you fucking dare put that thing down, sit outside and have a cup of tea. And I didn't do it, thank God. And no, and you know, there's different things that pop up where it would be like, but for me, and this is what I do in the coaching too, is about knowing your why, like what Tony would say, and really drawing on that and knowing why you're doing it and remembering that always. And I don't know, that just seemed to help me get through. And I'd made the commitment. So once, you know, like I made the commitment, that's it. You know, and at that stage, I thought I was going to drink again too. At that stage, I thought, a few more months, you know,
So, and that's it. That's the other thing that you're doing now is you're providing coaching for people that want to go down a similar path. That's really exciting. Are there other things that you help people get involved with to help them on their journey, like things like exercise, meditation, or anything like that? What sort of practices do you encourage people to follow?
So I'm not doing this full-on plug here, but here's our playbook. Basically, the playbook's got things month to month for people to add in. So that's just what it's kind of based on the journal that we all had ourselves when we took the first 12 months. So it's like the first month is about gratitude, like starting a gratitude practice, and then the next one's about musts, like things you must do, I ams, you know, so you're writing all these affirmations each day. That's the sort of foundation, setting that stuff up. Then we go on to like starting an exercise routine, meditation, goal setting for the future. And because to me also it becomes more about quitting, it's not just about quitting alcohol, it's about this whole vision you create for yourself. And it's about at the start too, when I'm coaching someone, it's about what is it you want and how do you want your life to be. So it's alcohol kind of becomes an afterthought when you're sort of looking towards that bigger vision of what you want.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there was definitely a point in my life where my weekdays started to become more fun than my weekends. And I think that was a big shift for me. You know, when I was working in a job I hated, or I was living in Hong Kong for a while and I really didn't enjoy my job, it was like all about what was happening Friday and Saturday because I was just looking forward to it all the time. Like, you know, and when I started to live in alignment with my values, I believe, you know, it was more important for me to be able to show up during the week than it was to have a rager on the weekend. I think that was a big shift for me.
Yeah, it's exactly that, when the values, you know, when they start. And that was what was happening with me when I was waking up hungover all the time, or waking up not remembering going to bed. I'm like, this is not me. Like, and my family is really high on my values list. So like, what, this is not, you know, and that's when you're out of alignment with yourself, it's when things start to go all wrong on the inside. You get depressed and things like that, anxiety and whatever. So living in alignment with your values is huge. So, yeah, makes a big difference.
And how long have you been doing the coaching now?
I started, probably started that about 6 months ago. And that, I kind of fell into that, and then I went and got accredited to do life coaching as well. I sort of tend to do that anyway with people. I'm a bit of a... Like, if people want to start a new business, or I'll be that person that's like, you should do this. And then I'll just hassle them for ages. Ash is always telling me off for doing that. It's like, you should do this marketing thing and this is your funnel. And rah, rah, rah. I can't help myself. So it's worked out really well because I get to be paid for telling people what they should do with their lives. But it's really good.
There's a huge need for it. You know, we all need to be held accountable, and it's just so much easier. I mean, first of all, to be able to bounce your own thoughts off somebody, but also sometimes just to get a second opinion on things. It's so hard when you're so close to it all. I think coaching's so important. And can you tell us a little bit about the challenge that you've got planned for the early next year?
Yes. So it's starting on January 1st, and it's going to be just a 3-month challenge. So it'll be basically people will be doing a group coaching call every Sunday where everyone can check in. There'll be a Facebook group as well, and then I'll be emailing people out during the week just to give them different prompts and things like that, how to do their journaling and things like that, and just try and coach them through the first 3 months, and then hopefully they love it enough that they want to keep going, and you know, and see how they go and see if they want to go into a 12-month challenge or do another 3 months. But it'll be really good. I mean, that's when we start, and I think it's a really good time, January 1st, to go.
Yeah,
I'm going to do this. So it's cool. Hopefully it'll be good.
Yeah, that's exciting. And so where can people go if they want to find out more about that or yourself?
Yes, okay. So they can go to the website. My website's iquitalcohol.com.au. Otherwise, they can go on Instagram, How I Quit Alcohol, or the podcast as well is How I Quit Alcohol. So
highly recommend checking the podcast out. And if you're on Instagram, jump on there and follow Danny. I think it's awesome what you're doing. And I hope that we can do this maybe again sometime next year and see how the challenge went. Yeah.
Maybe you should join the challenge, Nathaniel.
Maybe I should.
I saw you there posting there with your rosé last week.
Did you? Oh, busted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something to think about. I'm sure my mum will be a fan for you saying that.
Oh, she said airbrush photo. She's gorgeous. Anyway,
All right, Danny. Well, thanks so much for joining us. That was really inspiring. For everybody tuning in, have a fantastic week in business, guys. Go out there and crush it. And we'll see you next week on Monday Night Live. Thanks for watching.
Thank you.